from greetings from the conference and the men that are still there. Cecil and I came home yesterday afternoon, and Pastor Greg was the featured speaker this morning, Sunday at 8:30, 8:30 to 9:30. So I was praying for him at that time, and he closed the conference this morning, and the guy should be heading home soon. But it was a great time, and if you think this is just a shameless plug for next year's conference, you're absolutely right, guys. Whoever wasn't able to go this last year, I encourage you to go this year. Our guest speaker was Pastor Don McClure, and if you have never had an opportunity to listen to Don, he is a great man of the Lord, but just a sharp, sharp wit and a great, great storyteller. And we were just really, really blessed. The theme of the conference was like on my shirt, but I figured these shirts are kind of like an eye test because most of you can't read this. Why? You know, most shirts are black and white lettering or white and black lettering or blue and opposite like this. But no, this was a dark red shirt with a kind of a gold thing. But it's called Entrust These Things to Faithful Men. Can you read that? No. Your eyes are any good? Well, you got to get closer. So it was an eye test, but the theme of the conference was entrust these things to faithful men. And the scripture reading was out of 2 Timothy 2:2, and it says, "All these things you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach also others." It is amazing to me how God brings things together. And I was every time I in the Psalms and I go through the Bible and I get into Psalm 78, I always say, this is a great psalm to me to teach on, to remember what God has done for us. It's a call to remembrance. And it is, to me, it fits right into what we were being taught yesterday and this morning about being faithful and to being able to entrust these things. Well, what are these things? What is Paul talking to Timothy about? What are these things? And these things are the Word, the faithfulness of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God. You can go on and on and on, but we need to remember these things, and then we need to entrust them to faithful men and women to share them with others as generations go down. And that is what we need to look at here. And we need to, with that in Psalm 78, as we get into it in a minute, that we need to understand the faithfulness of God and our unfaithfulness many times in remembering these things in our own lives and our own situations and circumstances. So we are to entrust these things to faithful men and to, and that generically, to faithful women as well. Pastor McClure, Don, went through the book of Nehemiah, or the first two chapters of the book of Nehemiah. And we remember Nehemiah was the cupbearer of the king, and he laid upon his heart to go back to Jerusalem after he had the word of what was going on in Jerusalem and how they were, how the walls and the gates were still burned and the walls were still down, and it grieved him mightily. And he needed and desired to go back, but over a process of prayer and over a process of allowing God to deal with him as well, he was given permission by the king to go back to Jerusalem. And he took his contingency and he took a plan and he took all that they needed to go back. And he was faithful to that call. He was faithful to remember what had gone on in the past to be able to continue to bring it forward into the future. Because if it wasn't men like Ezra and Nehemiah and those who followed after them, that there would be no remembrance because they would have been devastated and gone. But God's work never ends, does it? God would not allow that. So he rose these men up. These men were raised up to bring forth what had transpired in the past. They say the tombs of their fathers was in ruins, and they needed to go back and rebuild it. And even in that time, you see the adversaries. You can read Nehemiah, and I encourage you to read again Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah. But Nehemiah was the focal point of what Pastor Don McClure was doing on the last couple of days. I encourage you to read that. We're going to be in Psalm 78 this morning, so you want to turn to that, and let me open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the time that we have in your word this morning, Father, that you will bless this time, that we will set every else aside, every care and every concern aside, Father, and just solely concentrate on your word and what it has to say to us individually, what it is that you want us to understand in this. Where are our shortcomings? Where have we not come and risen to the degree that you desire us to come to, Father, as we are responsible for what goes on before us and after us, Father, that we share that we are entrusted to share that, to remember what you have done and then pass it on. Father, may you just be glorified in all that we do this morning, Father. May you be glorified in all that we do as we leave these doors, Father, that we continue to point to you in all things. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So again, what are these things that we are supposed to be entrusted? It is the Word. It is God's faithfulness. It is God's love. It is God's grace. As we were saying, and I thought that was a very interesting sentence. If grace is the ocean, we'd be sinking. Think of that. Usually I think of sinking as something not positive, but we're going to be just drowning in His grace because that's how much grace He desires to give to us. It is ongoing, and it is always there. It never runs out, and we will see that in Psalm 78 in just a moment. So these men need to be faithful, and men are faithful. These are that we're called to be faithful, and that means all of us. That means every one of us in this room, we are called to be faithful. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That always gives me comfort. And I read it again, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I looked at it for years, and actually until yesterday, to be honest with you, until yesterday, as raising my own children. But it doesn't say raise your children or raise your child. It says raise a child. So it is our responsibility as believers to share God's love, to share God's word with all God's children. He's not talking about just little ones. He's talking about the young ones in the Word, the young ones in Christ, those children. It's our responsibility to train up these children. And it says, importantly also, and for us as parents, when we have children that are not walking as strongly as we desire and is walking as not as strongly as we know they should be, that we are concerned about it. And rightfully so, we need to be concerned about it. But what does it say here? What does Proverbs 22 say is a key to that? When he is old, he will not depart from it. So there's always that time. And God is grace and his mercy and his patience towards them as we see the children of Israel here in the psalm, that they rebel, that they are stiff-necked people, that they just did not connect the dots. But there is always that hope. There is always that grace that God gives them. So when they are old, they will not depart from it. But the first thing that we need to do is to give them the remembrance that we have. Matthew Henry, I'm going to read this slowly because he is a 17th century writer. I don't read all that well anyway. I'm going to read this slowly to you, but this is what he is talking about when it is what is our responsibility. He says, that which we are to transmit to our children is not only the knowledge of languages, arts and sciences, liberty and poverty, but especially the praises of the Lord and his strength appearing in the wonderful works he has done. Our great care must be to lodge our religion, that great deposit, pure and entire, in the hands of those that succeed us. What an awesome responsibility that is, that we need to train up our children. We need to train up those who are new believers, that we bring it to remembrance of what God has done in our lives so we can share it with others that could be going through and will be going through the same situations and circumstances. It is so important that we do that. So let's start verse 1, Psalm 78. And I'm going to read the first 8 verses as an introduction of what the psalmist is trying to say here, is wanting to say here. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law,
Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Oh, give ear to my, oh, my people. In other words, he's saying, listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. I will open my mouth in a parable. And a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? That's what a parable is, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter the dark sayings of old. That is not the, that's not meaning negative. That's the way it was written here. It's not meaning negative. It's being those things that are greatly to be remembered, the important things that we need to remember. I will utter the dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So there is this encouragement. There is this calling for us to remember. And now what I would like to do and like for you to do as we go through this is examine your own life. Examine what you do. Are you truly remembering what God has done for you? Not even if it is just for internal peace and internal security. Are you remembering those things that God has done in the past to get you through possibly the things that you're going through now? Or are we still wringing our hands? Are we going from one situation to another and not connecting the dots, as I like to say, that we don't put the thing in perspective? Are you doing that? Are you looking at your life in 60-second sound bites? Or are you looking at your life in totality of eternity and totality of what God is doing? We have a tendency to do that, don't we? We go from one thing to another, and we kind of forget what's going on with it. So he's telling us to remember. He's telling us that we need to teach our children to go in the way that he's desiring us to go, that we are going to give that to our children so they can pass it on to their children. I believe we're probably in our, as Calvary Chapels go, we're fourth generation probably by now. Fourth generation in this movement where I look back and I can't, where did all the time go? But it is a great and awesome responsibility to be able to minister to these young people, to minister those who are coming to Calvary Chapels as a group. That's why we had 400 plus guys from Northern California. All of these men come together to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to share with one another, to pray with one another. But in four generations that we've got, that we have a responsibility to teach and remember where God moved, how God moved in this. And it's an awesome thing to look at, but it's not a salvation. It doesn't save you. But it certainly gives you an as perspective of what you're involved with. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit within men and within women that brought this to fruition and continues to grow it. Pray for it every day, because we have a tendency in our flesh not to listen to what the psalmist is saying. And if we don't share this, if we don't share the goodness of God, if we don't share what God has done to another generation, it starts to wane, doesn't it? It starts to lessen because of who we are in our flesh. So it's very important to remember, what are we doing? What are we individually doing? Because we are a body of Christ, and we all have different callings in Christ to do this. So we're being called to remembrance. And then in verse 8, it says, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. We can see all of this. We can look into any one of these verses in Psalm 78 in other parts of the Bible. There you can find this in Exodus. I encourage you to read through Exodus, through Deuteronomy, through Isaiah, to go through, and you can find every one of these stories. First Samuel
we'll see in just a second. You find the story in 1 Samuel of what the psalmist is going to be saying here in just a minute. But he's saying, don't be the stiff-necked and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. Is our spirit faithful to God? Is your life faithful to God? Is what you're doing daily faithful to God? We need to examine ourselves individually on any of that. What are we doing? And that's the whole purpose of this. It said now in verse 8 through 11, it says, and the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. And forgot his works. Underline that. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what God has done for you. As I said, we can read this whole story in 1 Samuel chapters 4, 5, and 6. We believe that the psalmist is referring to when the Philistines overran Israel and captured the ark. They captured the ark. They gave it back pretty quick, but they captured the ark and the children of Ephraim. Now, Ephraim was Joseph's youngest son. As Joseph was in Egypt, Joseph's youngest son, he obtained Jacob, his grandfather or Joseph's father, also Israel, he called Israel his blessing. He obtained Jacob's blessing. We can read that in Genesis 48, verses 8 through 20. And his older brother was Manasseh. And how God turned that. Remember that story? How Manasseh was the older of the two, right? But then Ephraim got Jacob's blessing, because that's what God intended to have done. And so here is Ephraim, though, that received that blessing from Jacob and failed. And another person that came out of the tribe, Ephraim, was Joshua. Here is this mighty man of God, one of the other two. Him and Caleb were the only two that was from that generation that was allowed to go into the promised land, because they were the ones that were faithful to God. The rest of them was not faithful. But here, even in this tribe that brought up this man, Joshua, that they failed, that they turned their back, that they forgot, and they forgot the works of God. They forgot his works. So it's a danger that we all need to understand. We are in danger of doing that if we don't continue to concentrate on what God has done for us and to remember that and to pass those things on. So in verse 12, it says, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. That's where they lived in Egypt. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the water stand up in a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud. And all the night he led with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and he gave them drink in abundance, like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. In other words, they're saying, I know what you're doing for me. I'm seeing this. We'll continue to see the manna in a minute. But I know what you're doing this. You're doing what I'm... I know that you give me this thing, but I want this. You notice what they're saying? You are doing this, but I. It's all about me. What can you do to satisfy me? I don't care what you've done already, in essence is what they're saying, but I want to be satisfied in what I want, this other thing that I need. God provides all of what we have, but then what are we always doing? I wish I had this. I would be happier if I had this. Give me this and I will be perfectly satisfied. You get that? And what happens? I want something else. Are we satisfied with what God has given us? Are we content in the process of God leading us through our lives? I might say, I admit that I'm not always that comfortable with it. I'm always looking for something else. But God forgive me that I understand what he's trying to do. But I'm just pointing out the fact that we're always looking for something else. In verse 19, yes, they spoke against God. They're speaking against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? God is preparing it, but I want even more. I'm not grateful for what God has given me. I want even more.
Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Then they said, can he give us bread also? He's given us this. Now I want something else. Can he provide meat for us, for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was furious. The Lord heard this and was furious. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel because they did not believe God. Look at that, because they did not believe God. They did not put their hope in God. They did not put their assurance in God. They did not put their confidence in what he was doing and their peace in what God was doing. They did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Believe and trust. Those are two words that should be joined together all the time. Believe and trust. We believe in what God is going to do. We don't see what's going to happen to it at this point in time, but we got to trust that it's going to happen. So we're going to believe, and then we're going to trust. Believe and trust. They did neither, because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened up the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them. In other words, even though they've done all of this, can you imagine? How would you feel if every morning you got up and there was going to be this cloud in the desert, and when the cloud moved, you moved? And in the night, when the pillar of light came down, not to also guide us, but to give them heat. Anybody who's been out in the desert knows in the night it gets pretty cold. We think of the desert as always being hot, but it gets cold at night. So that pillar of light, that pillar of fire, probably also served for some warmth as well. But when it moved, they moved. When the cloud moved, they moved. In other words, following after what God is doing. That was the purpose of this. It was for protection as well. But for the purpose of this, so he says, they didn't believe or trust God even after they're seeing all of this. Because, you know, because then the psalmist reminds them, even though he opened up the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, gave them the bread of heaven, the manna, man ate angels' food. We're being provided what God wanted to give us, yet they were not satisfied. Are you in that same situation? Are you satisfied with what God is giving? Or you say, God, give me more. This is what I want. And it just biblically brings it to me, the five I wills. You know, the ones that are completely, it's all about me. It's not about God. It's not about what God has given me. It's not about anything other than me. I have to be satisfied. That's what Israel was saying here. If I'm not satisfied, in other words, if mama ain't happy, the family ain't happy. You know, so Israel was saying, I'm not happy because now you're not satisfying what I, even though he's done all of this. We pick it up in verse 25 again. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. They were full. They were completely having no want, yet they were still not satisfied. He caused an east wind to blow in heaven, in the heavens. And by the power of his, by his power, he brought in the south wind and also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of the camp all around their dwellings. They didn't even have to go out and hunt for it. That's how much God loved his people and how much he wanted to give them the best. They didn't even have to go hunt for it. They just had to walk outside their tent and pick it up and deal with it. How many times are we like that? That God has just given us these things and we're not content. We want more. We're not satisfied. Verse 29, so they ate and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. And again, you need to go back, fill these things with other scriptures. In Deuteronomy, we'll see this in Exodus. Because God was saying, okay, you want something else more than what I've given you. I've given you manna, I've given it to your full, but you want something else. You're never satisfied with what I'm giving you. Okay, I'm going to give it to you and you're going to choke on it. Okay, that's what he's trying to show them. I remember the old cartoon in Disney cartoon with Goofy.
And he had a little son or a nephew. Or was it? Yeah, I think it was. And he caught his little nephew smoking, right? Remember this little cartoon? He says, okay, you want to smoke? I'm going to give you some. And he gave him like 15 cigarettes in his mouth until they got sick on them. He says, okay, you're going to do it. Okay, you want to smoke? You're going to choke on it. You want more than what I've given you? Okay, you're going to choke on it. I'm going to show you what you're asking for. And I think many times we see, that's called what, tough love? We call that kind of tough love with our own children, okay? We're going to let you do what you think you want to do. We're always going to keep an eye on you, and we're going to keep you safe, but we're going to let you experience the things you think you want so you can experience that it is not as good, it's not as shiny and sparkly as you thought it was going to be. Verse 30, and they were not deprived of their own craving, but while their food was still in their mouths, while they were choking on it, the wrath of God came against them and slew the stoutest of them and struck down the choice men of Israel. In spite of this, they still sinned. In spite of seeing it, what stiff-necked and rebellious people they were. In spite of this, they still sinned and did not believe in his wondrous works. Even though they saw them for themselves, they did not believe. Therefore, their days he consumed in futility and their years in fear. That's the 40 years. Okay, if you're not going to believe me, then you are not going to enter into the promised land. Caleb and Jacob were the only two. Even Moses didn't get in. Even Moses didn't get in because he failed to represent God properly. But Caleb and Joshua, thank you. Too many J's. Caleb and Joshua were the only two that got in to the promised land because they were faithful to God. Remember the spies that went out? It was only Caleb and Joshua. I'll get it. Caleb and Joshua were the ones that came back and says, yeah, we can take it because God's with us. God's going to be with us. And the rest of them were fair. We can't overcome the giants. So they came through, but the rest of them went in 40 years. We also see in Scripture that though within those 40 years, but in those 40 years, did you realize we see also in Scripture that their shoes nor their clothing never wore out? Did you see that? Even though God was punishing them, even though God was saying, you're not the faithful people that you need to be, they were still his people. He still took care of them. I'm not saying for you to take that route, but God is taking care of you. If you turn in Psalm 78 to verse 38, this was the crux of what I wanted to actually share with you, is starting in verse 38. But he, how many times do we see in Scripture, but God, that everything is failing, everything is not turning out what we think it's doing, God is doing this, and our other people are doing this, but God. And in this case, he's saying, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh. He remembered that they were but flesh and a breath that passes away and does not come again. Let that sink in a little bit. God loves us so much, and he remembers that we're just mere flesh. He created us for worship. He created us for communion. But he remembers our frailties, and he remembers that we are just a breath that does not come again. This life will not come again. I will not come back as a cow. I will not come back as a monkey. I will not come back as anything else. This life is the life I have on earth, and we are here as in a moment, but we are here to see how we are going to act in eternity. We are given this time of our soul's existence. This eternal existence of our soul, we're given here to see how we deal with what God has done for us. That's what we're here for. It's this time of testing. It's this time of faithfulness to understand it. Everyone in this world has been created by God, and we all understand, and we're all given grace based upon what we know, based upon what we have. I think the most important thing for us to understand is that we need to share God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's salvation, plan of salvation through his son to others so they can experience, to me, heaven on earth now. Because we are privileged. We are absolutely blessed because if we can grasp the grace and the knowledge and the patience and the love that God has, no matter what the world throws at us, we're going to be at peace. And look at all the others around you that cause these tragedies, cause them to collapse. But we can still be at peace for what God has. We filter everything that happens to us and through us through the lens of eternity, shouldn't we? Everything that we do is focused on eternity. But we are in this here and now time that we can never seem that we can focus on eternity. Paul looks at it. Paul and the Lord always showed and gave an example of a temporal thing in the sense of eternity. It's always eternity. We are looking at the here and now because it's the only thing we've seen. It's the only thing we understand. But we should filter every decision that we make, every comment that we have, through the lens of eternity through his son, through what we're going to have eternally. And this is the importance of remembering what God has given us, to understand that, to pass that on to another generation, a generation of little kids, generation of adults that are little kids in the Lord, to guide them and to direct them, to show them, to give them that peace that they could also have here on earth that they will experience eternally with him. So we are just flesh. We're just a breath that's going to be here and then gone in this earthly life, but our soul is going to go on eternally. And where are we going to be is the question. Where is our soul going to be? Where is the essence of who we are going to be? That's the choice we make here and now. And that's the choice I pray that we all make and choose the Lord. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. And that's what Joshua said. That was a quote from Joshua. As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. But look what happened to his house. Because his house wasn't continued to remind it of what God was doing, was it? If they were reminded and were educated and were given that information, that the tribe of Ephraim might not have failed at that time because they could have called on the strength of God. So we need to remember these things. We need to understand our responsibilities of what we have and what God has given us to pass on. And again, read through Deuteronomy, through Exodus, through Judges. We will see through Judges. We can see through Samuel. I encourage you to read these in context of the psalm, and it'll just open it up to you, open it up even more. I'm going to close with one last thing that Don McClure shared with us, how it so practically applies on a spiritual level, even though this was on a real temporal level. He said he was overhearing a couple of pilots, three or four pilots talking, airline pilots or military pilots, I don't really know, flyers. Jim Peterson was sitting right next to me when he was sitting, Jim was sitting there shaking his head, laughing. He says, these pilots don't like to ever admit that they're lost. That's too much pride. They're not going to admit that they're lost. And there's these four C's that they apply to those situations when they do not know where they are. There's four C's that they want to engage to get out of the situation. The first is climb. The second is communicate. The third is confess. And the fourth is conform. How we can apply that to our spiritual lives is when we are lost, the first thing that we need to do is look up. We need to climb. We need to go up to the Lord. As he reaches down to us, we need to look to the Lord. We need to climb when we're lost. And then we need to communicate. We need to pray. We need to pray for the situations that we're in, we need to pray for the situation, the circumstance that we might be in. Or we're praying for intercessory prayer to other people, for other people. We need to climb and we need to go up to God. Then we need to pray. We need to communicate to God. Then we need to confess. We need to confess our shortcomings. We need to confess our failures. in Nehemiah. Nehemiah confessed the failures of his people, confessed his own failures. He climbed to God. He looked to God. He communicated and prayed to God for guidance and for direction. And then he confessed. And then he conformed. Then we need to conform to what God is telling us to do. So we need to climb. We need to communicate. We need to confess. And then we need to conform. And then we are able. Then we need to conform to what God is calling us to do. We need to remember. We need to pass these things off to our children. We need to pass these things off, what God has done for us and through us and will do continually. And then we will be healthy people. And we will be able to be called to Him. And He will give us that, what we all long for, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we've had in your word, Father. And now, Father, as we come now to communion, what a marvelous place to stop and to remember what you have done. To remember what you have done through your Son, the sacrifice of an innocent life, sinless life for our sinful life. Father, that we are celebrating communion this morning because of what you have done for us that we could not do for ourselves. That we are here to rejoice. We are here to remember. We are here to give over to you all that we have and be satisfied with what you're doing in our lives, Father. May you just bless this time as we share communion together. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.